From HanselMinutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman, hosted by Carl Franklin. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 54, recorded Tuesday, March 6th, 2007. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. Support is also provided by Slash N Software Red Carpet Subscriptions, the most comprehensive solution for adding connectivity to your .NET and ASP.NET applications with components for every major internet protocol. Online at www.nsoftware.com. And by .NET Developers Journal, the world's leading .NET developer magazine. Online at www.sys-con.com. In this episode, Scott talks with Jay Flowers about continuous integration.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes. On this episode, Carl's going to step out for a second, and I'm going to talk to Jay Flowers. This is the second part of our year-long two-part series on continuous integration. We did a show on continuous integration a long time ago. I think it was our first or second show. And we talked about the basics of continuous integration. And then I realized that we really need to start talking about squeezing continuous integration. So the title of this show is Squeezing Continuous Integration. And what better person to talk about that than Jay Flowers, the creator of CI Factory and general continuous integration fan. How's it going, Jay?
It's going great. Thanks, Scott.
So you work on continuous integration stuff all day, right? You run the build at your company?
I do. I live, eat, and breathe it. I'd probably say that I'm not actually a build master. I am the build master's developer, so they're my client.
Oh, really? So you don't have a dedicated build meister at your company?
I do. That's my boss.
Your boss is the build meister?
Yes. We have a team.
Ah. And he just tells you what to do as far as, does he do the continuous integration setup?
No, actually, that was one of those things that I did in the company and, was worried that I might have to apologize later.
Okay. So, like, we use cruise control for our continuous integration build at my company. And, someone checks something in and we notice that the source control system has changed. We kick off a build. We kick off testing. Setting up these continuous integration servers is pretty straightforward. It's pretty easy.
Yes. Well, I mean, it is now, but I've been using CI Factory for a few years now, so I've really gotten used to it, and I would like to share that with other people at this point.
Okay. So, what is the process without CI Factory? And CI Factory is an open source program that you worked on. Did you work on it with anyone else?
Some people on projects that I've worked with, but never really anybody out in the open source community.
And it is open source, though?
It is.
Okay. So what's the difference between me wanting to set up cruise control straightforward by myself versus using an assister like CI Factory?
Well, you're going to have to understand cruise control and how to set it up. And you're given context. You're going to have to make decisions about, whether or not to do it this way, that way, or the other way. Whereas with CI Factory, all that stuff is just taken care of for you. It just works out of the box.
So talk me through the experience briefly. I know we're going to do a .NET Rocks TV soon, so people are going to be able to actually see this. But I download CI Factory, and then what?
So you would open up the CI Factory solution file in the root of what you unzip, and that will have all the configuration files that you might want to touch, because there's a lot of files that go with this, and you don't want to be hunting, pecking around for, is this the file that I need to touch, or is that the file? So I just kind of have them all loaded up in the solution. So then you can go to the main arguments file and customize any of the pieces that you need to be concerned about that are going to be different for your particular situation. And then you
run. So we're loading this into Visual Studio.
Yeah, in Visual Studio. You can do it in
a
text editor as well.
It's a Visual Studio solution.
Yes.
Okay.
The reason I did that again is just because there's, you know, there's a lot of files all over the place, and you don't know, you know, it's if you were looking around in Explorer for which file you need to edit and which file you don't need to edit, you've, you know, you're having to figure that out on your own or remember it. And this way with the solution, it just shows you, it's just a window into what you care about. So it kind of hides all the stuff.
So you're using
Visual
Studio as the input into this, basically a code generator. You're code generating your continuous integrations.
Yes, yes. Actually, I'm using NAND to write everything out. So this is...
Oh, so you're actually using Visual Studio to automate NAND, and then on the other side pops out all the .config files that one would need to have a working cruise control server.
Yeah, it even generates NAND script as well.
Oh, so it generates NAND as well.
Yeah, so I have NAND generating NAND.
Oh, okay. NAND generating NAND. Okay, so then within the context of this CI factory, what is... a package, because I know that you use this term a lot. You have these packages. What does that mean?
Well, so generally when you're going about doing your build, there's activities that happen. You know, we're gonna work with source control, and we're gonna get, you know, the latest, or we're gonna get from a label. Then we're gonna do things like maybe do some versioning. You know, increment the version numbers, that type of thing. We'll do some compiles. We might do some unit testing or FX copy. So we have these activities.
Right. So this is getting into the squeezing part of it. You can make a pretty straightforward CI continuous integration experience where you run NAND or you run MS build, then you run NUnit. But beyond that is where we're talking about taking continuous integration, right? So
right.
You mentioned FX cop. We talked a little bit about end depend an episode or two ago. Coverage. I know that you've used MS test before, and you don't like it.
No, I don't like it.
I wanted to do this by myself, if I wanted to take an existing continuous integration build that maybe I've already got going, maybe a listener has got NAND already working, would they still want to use continuous integration factory to add things to that?
Well, I guess it comes down to, if you maintain the scripts yourself, the only way it's ever going to get any better is because you make it better. If you are using something like CI Factory, then you can add packages yourself, or you can customize things, but I'm also going to be continuing to do this, so you'll gain the benefit of whatever I produce as well.
So any new factory that comes out, like Simeon is a product I'm a fan of for similarity analysis. I've always wanted to add Simeon to my continuous integration build, but it's a hassle, and I don't want to go in there and figure out what batch files to hook up or whatever.
Right.
I would just hook up a package, a CI package.
Exactly. With the current release, it doesn't support installing just one package to an existing, but I actually have that working on my box and just haven't checked it in yet. So with the RTM of this release, you will have that ability to upgrade packages as well as piecemeal add, you know, I want to add one more package, or this other package just got released, that type of thing.
So folks that are doing builds themselves that are maybe listening have probably used NAND, or they've used MS Build, and they know that each of those tools has the notion of a task. There's NAND tasks for this, and then there's CCNet tasks. But it sounds like you've raised kind of the layer of abstraction a little higher than task, and a package, while it's close to a CCNet task, it's maybe a little bit bigger. It's a little bit, has a little bit larger scope. Is that true?
Oh yeah, it is a bigger thing. So there can be this interplay between packages. Let's take coverage packages for example. I have a coverage I package, and there's also a in-cover package. And these packages I don't want them to have any real concept of whether or not we're using MS test or MB unit or in unit or anything like that.
So let me take a second. So we're talking about maybe someone has a build that has multiple test packages. Like I know we use MB unit and N unit in the same project sometimes. And then there's NCover, which lets you see code coverage over those tests.
Right.
You're saying you want to hide that fact?
Yes. I want the NCover package just to know about that there is a unit testing package. And so all unit testing packages kind of adhere to, we'll say an interface, for lack of a better term. Not that there is such a thing in NAND, but, you know, the packages each have a target called, you know, unit test.setup and unit test.teardown and unit test.run tests. So the coverage package will be able to run any one of the unit test packages. So the only difference is I just kind of need to have a class factory at that point that knows, you know, this is the target file, this is the properties file for that particular unit test package.
So what you use the term interplay, the interplay between these XMLs passing back and forth between these different things, right? I mean, CI is the act of automating, but in the context of what we're talking about, cruise control is just a process that watches source control and kicks off these, it's a glorified batch scheduler.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
And each task spits out XML, right?
Right. So we really have, for the most part, just one task in CI Factory. It kicks off the NANT script. So it goes to like basically a sub main in there. And then from there, we fan out into, well, what's the first order of operations, you know, source control. Second order of operations, you know, and on down the line.
So, okay.
That main, there's a file main.build.xml. That's your main XML NANT script.
Okay. And that, now, are you saying that you only have one CCNET task, that you've kind of neutered the task concept within cruise control and you're using your own?
Yes.
And that's because theirs is just not flexible enough when it comes to dependencies and asynchrony and things like that?
Absolutely.
Now, I understand that asynchrony is a big part of what your stuff can offer that the CCNET doesn't offer out of the box. Is that true?
Yes. Yeah. So with one of the projects that I'm working on, they have a huge amount of VB.NET codes. They have like, I think it's up to like 600,000 lines of code, and that can take a while to compile. And then we want to run all these other things on there besides unit tests like Symian and code coverage and independ and more. And it just takes a long time to do that build. So then people don't want to submit to the build because it takes so long.
Okay.
So, we can use this asynchronicity after we've done the compile. Let's say we can run unit tests at the same time that we run independ, at the same time that we run Symian, all those types of things. So we can get things done faster, as well as some of these things aren't really germane to the result of the build being good or bad. So we can also kick off some of these processes to run even after the build has returned a result back to the developer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the ways we can really squeeze out some more time.
So if someone has an existing build, they've got NANT, they've got NUnit, and this is kind of the typical vanilla cruise control build. I mean, most people have got at least the automatic build part working. You think that the next step is going to be to add something like coverage? Using NANT, they're using NUnit, or they're using NANT and MBUnit or MSTest, that adding coverage is a good thing to add. That provides a value to the team, because these continuous integration builds are creating vast amounts of information. They're creating reports. They're potentially emailing out reports. It isn't useful that it just builds the thing. It's got to provide some feedback loop, right, to let the team change things and improve the software while it's being built, right?
Right. And so as we start adding all these different packages, the risk becomes that we're spamming them. You know, it's easy to give them too much information even. So we need some type of way to point out, well, which information is the most important? What's the most important thing out of this build that you need to be aware of, that you need to take action on? That's the key part. What's going to trigger you to take some action? Generally, that the basic means so far has been failing the build. Failing the build gets your attention. Failing the build gets you to take some type of action. But that can be kind of drastic.
So what are the packages that come out of the box with CI Factory that can take this to the next level? I see that it's going to make things easier to build, easier to maintain. I can add and remove packages. But what's the hello world CI Factory going to give me? Because there's quite a few packages, I understand. And we're going to do a DNR TV, I think maybe one or two on this, and we'll actually show screencasts of how this works. You can take a look shrinkster.com/mmb, M as in mom. And then there's a screen capture of the analytics package at shrinkster.com/mm8 to explain, you know, how the process works, how to jumpstart your continuous integration. It appears to me, and maybe Jay, you can agree with me or not, but CI Factory is kind of like file new continuous integration.
Yeah. Yes, I'm trying to make it that way. I mean, when I first started out with this stuff, I was actually kind of disappointed about how difficult it was. It took me, you know, over 3 weeks to really get something up solid that I felt like I could share with, you know, other people in the company. And I wasn't, you know, I was going to be like, well, or the response that I was going to get was, well, all right, we'll use that. You know, I wasn't going to get in trouble for doing it. So that just seemed to me to take an extraordinary amount of time and resources. And I don't know, it seems just kind of ironic for some of this stuff that we're developers and we're supposed to make things easier for our users, yet we can't seem to do that for ourselves.
Yeah.
So I really felt like I also noticed, you know, as I had to make more and more of these, I was just doing the same thing over and over again. So I didn't see that there was any need for it to be this way. And and it could just, you know, if we decided on some naming conventions where things go, you know, all these things would be easy to do.
Isn't that funny how little things like deciding where, you know, what directory is going to go where, and stopping moving stuff around, just coming up with some kind of convention. This is why the Rails guys and the Ruby guys are so excited about their productivity levels. It's because it's convention over configuration. If we can just all agree on how things are going to get laid out,
right,
then we can start getting things done.
Let's see, Tree Surgeon by Mike over at CCNet.
Yeah, ThoughtWorks, Tree Surgeon from ThoughtWorks.
Yeah.
That was the first time I saw the concept of, and I call it file new continuous build, you know, file new CI.
Right.
It just jumpstarts your, you know, it's one thing to go and say, here's a hello world, but really when you need a project, you need continuous integration, you need a test framework, you need all that stuff.
Right.
I was talking with a friend of mine who's setting up a startup, and he hasn't got a continuous integration build server yet. And he's like, yeah, it's on my list of things to do. When am I going to get around to it? But, you know, the sooner you do it, the sooner it's done.
We have that very issue in our company where it's like the developers just want to, I mean, and it's normal for them. It's not anything bad, but they, you know, they just want to get going. They don't want to have to set up any of this other stuff, think about it. They just want to start writing some code. So it can take a little bit of forethought, you know, to say, all right, well, hold on, I'm going to set this up. So if it's easy to set up, you're more likely to do it. If it is a pain in the butt, like it appears to be for a lot of people, well, it gets put on the back burner. You know, it doesn't appear to show any productivity right away. You know,
right away, after the fact, we've got a project here where one of our guys has not just building, you know, binaries and throwing them into a bin folder, which is the basics, right? I mean, the most basic build would just give you a bunch of DLLs or a bunch of EXEs. The next step, of course, is building an installer, saying, here's my MSI. So that's you know, that's an improvement on continuous integration. That squeezes CI a little bit. But they started actually spitting out virtual machines with a complete integrated and built system. So not only do they spit out the MSI, they actually use the COM APIs inside a virtual server, and they bring up a fresh VM, wait for the VM to come up, log in, all automated, go into that box, install the software, configure it, and then save it off somewhere so that the sales guy can grab that demonstration VM and go running with it. So from our point of view, from my point of view as someone who does technical sales, picking up the latest build is actually just copying a VM that's complete down, as opposed to grabbing that MSI, while someone else might think of picking up the latest build as grabbing some DLLs or picking up an MSI. Do you have anything around virtual machines that you do at your company or in the product?
Well, we use one manually for COM builds where we'll roll back to the virgin snapshot and then begin building from there on a clean, fresh registry so that we don't end up with corrupt registries, you know, over time, you know, after several months of heavy COM builds the machine can start to act a bit flaky. So this, you know, we're always in a good known state where we really trust what's coming out of the build.
Well, another example that wouldn't be virtual machines, but would be the idea of what is your build artifact, actually declaring to yourself and agreeing as a company and as a project, what is the thing that pops out at the end of this this assembly line, like a CD or even better, an ISO image. What about that?
One of the last project that I worked on, we actually did that. We delivered 20 CDs for this government project. So we had 20 different build processes up building ISO images. So that...
Nice.
That included documentation, everything. You know, that was the final... That was what we handed to the customer. So if... And that's what test took. So it wasn't like test was taking an intermediary and then somebody else was going to have to take this bit and that bit and the other bit and put them in the right spot on the CD for everything to work. And, you know... And by the time you get to that point, you know, test is like worn out and they might not do the you know, the most aggressive test on that final product then because they did, you know, their work on the intermediate stuff. So this prevents you from having those last minute errors.
Yeah, exactly. Why does there have to be a manual push a button at the end of it all where the CD, you know, pops out?
Right.
Yeah, I think that's really the essence of kind of squeezing continuous integration is that if your build process, I mean, no matter how nice your CCNet server is, no matter how nice it is that someone can check your code out and say build.bat, if deploying your code involves opening two Explorer windows and dragging something, that's probably a bad, that's a good idea that you're maybe doing something wrong, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, my released this beta release for CI Factory, when I first published the zip up on Google, I forgot to include something in it because there was I use Google Docs for some of the install instructions and whatnot. So I was
right,
and they don't have an API for that yet. So to include those docs in the CI Factory zip, that's a manual step that I have to do, and I forgot something, and I had to republish the beta. I can't wait for their API
to
come
thing.
Out. Yep.
The one thing that wasn't automated.
Yep.
Yeah, we're actually managing the outline for this show and the links there. So all of this sounds like something that I'm interested in looking at and spending more time with CI Factory. I know that we've got a pretty sophisticated cruise control build here. We're not currently using CI Factory at our company. We basically based our build on sweat and tears. And before we got buy-off from the bosses, you know, we just did it. We just didn't tell anybody. We just found whatever hardware we could. I mean, how do you sell this to your boss? A lot of them wouldn't think it was, unless they're sophisticated about this kind of stuff, would think you're wasting your time.
Well, that's where I hope, you know, CI Factory can make that easy for you. I've either with a screencast or, you know, you can show them the screencast that's up on my blog right now, or you can just download it and do it and then show them the final result. And it shouldn't take you, you know, more than 5 minutes to get a working CI Factory up. Now, how long it takes to get your particular product worked into CI Factory will depend on your product. But basically, you know, it's going to be doing a reference dance. You know, you put your third party pieces over here and you put your code over there and then you get that stuff straightened out and there you go. So I imagine it might take most people around 20 minutes. And so after 20 minutes, you have a working CI Factory up and running. And I think that's probably a pretty powerful thing to be able to show your boss that we have this right here in house working right now. You don't have to worry about it anymore.
That's very slick. So J Flowers is jflowers.com, and the new CI Factory beta is version 0.8. And there's, I'm looking here in your blog, 22 new NAT tasks, 13 new NAT functions, 9 new CCNet plugins, and 10 CI Factory packages. Get backup, lines of code, MS build, end cover, end depend, tracking changes to source code. This will work with anything. It'll work with, continuous integration isn't something that has to be Subversion and CVS. I mean, you could be MS build, MS test. You could be using Team System. I mean, being enthusiastic about cruise control and continuous integration doesn't necessarily indicate that you're open source or not, or team system or not, right? I mean, this can work no matter how hybrid your product is, right?
Oh, absolutely. No, I that was one of the things with CI Factory is I want to abstract that away. So whatever package, whatever third-party products you're using, it we've abstracted that. It's just continuous integration. That's all there is.
That's just continuous integration. That's all there is. Fantastic. Jay, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to talk about this. I really encourage folks that are listening to take a look at jflowers.com. There's also going to be a number of links up on the show site. And I think in the next week or two, we'll probably do a DNR TV so you can see some of this the way it's meant to be seen visually and not on a podcast. And this has been another episode of Hansel Minutes. Thanks a lot, and I hope we didn't waste your time.